Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
Well, it's so good to be here this morning, preaching through this wonderful series, kicking it off, Love and Lies. It's great to be back in New Jersey. I was in a place where I've never been before. Maybe you've never been before. They had this boy in the Midwest in a place called Arkansas. I don't know where Arkansas is. I don't even know how many planes you got to take to get there. That's a whole nother sermon. But I'm so thankful to be back. Well, during my time there, first of all, let me just say this. In traveling to so many different places, let me just tell you this. When I come back home to Marlton, I'm so appreciative of so many things. But number one, you got to realize, we have the best pastor and his wife in the world. I just want you to know that. I'm telling you, we are so blessed for this fellowship and this leadership. It's so wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, sit down. But while I was there, I had a chance to connect with one of the amazing missionaries, Joe and Jim Butler. They're actually from New Jersey and was called out to Arkansas. Their ministry is called the Billy Tree, and they deal with families that are dealing with special needs. And they just sort of built their 10,000 square foot building. It's incredible, state of the art. The Assemblies of God promoted it on the website. They were front page of the news. Entire community came together, about 200 people that day. This was like the first day they're walking in. It was absolutely incredible. Scripture verse on the wall. This is their outdoor space. I mean, just literally incredible sight there. One of their rooms, multi-purpose rooms, sensory rooms, a lot of them dealing with too much loud sound. This is sort of like their quiet room. I'm telling you, it's absolutely incredible. I want to show you this video. That this was the first person to use the swing that they put on the outside.
Do you like it?
It's breaking it in.
Do you like
it? The first one to use it, Joseph. Awesome, dude. So cool.
He does. He loves it.
Is that awesome? That's the mom in the background saying he loves it. That is just absolutely incredible. Then they had like this huge kind of, these are people from the community, not even like the church. I went to a basketball game and they were like, hey, Joe and Jen, I can't wait to be there tomorrow. I'm like, wow, they're making a tremendous impact. Then if you can zoom in even more, I went in and saw this, Marlton Assembly of God. That's cool. I was like, that's my church. My church. It's just so awesome to see that. And not only are we giving in our missions to help support that missionary on a monthly basis, but we've gave towards that building that's transforming lives for the glory of God. When I got back off the flight, I was happy to be in New Jersey. My phone goes off, and they're actually inviting me back out. And so I'm going to be working with the special needs family in a couple areas where we'll be actually putting on a summer camp for them. And then a little bit later, we'll be doing also, my wife and I will be assisting their families with a marriage conference because they're families that deal with kind of higher divorce rates than normal. And so we are so all in what God is doing with the Ability Tree ministry. And I thank you for being a part of that. So on this Love and Lies part one, I want to entitle this message, Did God Really Say? And a lot of times, I don't know about you, but we come across a lot of counterfeits in this world. Things that seem to be real, but aren't really real. Federal agents, this is a study, this is actually true. So there's a fake 100, by the way, let me just set this up. None of the 9 o'clock or the Saturday night service, they weren't like participating. So hopefully we'll get revival here in this second one. Okay. So the first one is whether it's true or it's not true, or is the second one a fake or is it real? All right. So how many of you by a show of hands, come on, help me here, okay? By a show of hands, how many think that the top one is real? Just kind of raise your hand. Okay. Praise God. A little bit more participation. That's wonderful. All three of you. Praise God. Okay. Now, how many of you think the second one is real? Second one, the bottom one. Oh, look at this. Like revival is breaking out right now. Awesome. You can put your hands up. And how many of you just don't even care right now? Just, yeah, I see. Yeah. That's good. I'll see you afterwards. So really, okay, so here it is, here it is. For those of you who thought the top was real, you're wrong. It's really, don't clap, go ahead, you can clap, I'm just joking. The bottom one is actually real. Federal agents, this is what they do. So in order to determine whether something's a counterfeit or not, they don't study the fake one. They spend hours upon hours upon hours only looking at the real one. And so when the fake one comes in, they don't study the lie. They actually just focus on the one that is real. And when they study it and they know it, they actually take it through a four-step process. They touch it, tilt it, look at it, and then look through it. And when they run it through, they can easily spot a fake by not studying the wrong one, by focusing on the truth. I think that should be said about many of us as believers. In our culture today, oftentimes there are so many lies that are thrown our way. Everything's about distorting the truth. Little bit of truth in it, but most of it's filled with filters. An image that seemed to be real, but we're only kind of not really real because we want to be accepted by everyone. Too many times we're looking to blend into things that aren't true or real. You know, the Bible talks about Satan, and Satan is known as the devil, Lucifer, prince of darkness, serpent, deceiver, father of lies, and he is the accuser of the brethren. In other words, Satan the devil, he is an adversary of everything that God is about. In the book of Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse number 7, it gives us a little insight as we're looking at love and lies. What is behind the lie? And the scripture says, it says, then this is before the heaven and earth was made. Did you know that Satan used to be an angel? His job was he was over music. And he was awesome, but there was a problem. Deep in his heart, he wanted to be in charge. He wanted to be better than God. And the Bible said a war broke out, and Michael, the head angel, and the angels fought against the dragon, who is Satan, and his angels. But the Bible says that he wasn't strong enough. And the Bible actually says that Satan and all of his angels were kicked out of heaven. Where did they come to? They came down to earth. That great dragon was hurled down. The serpent called the devil, or Satan. Now watch this. Satan, who leads the whole world astray. Satan lives and breathes lies. He lives on this. Bible goes on to say, it says, now a voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. Now watch this. Here's a characteristic of him. Here's what Satan does. Here's what the liar does. For he accuses the brothers, believers, and sisters day in, day out. He says he accuses us before our God day and night. He has been hurled down to the earth. I was watching, I'm a sports fanatic, and I love all kinds of sports. If it has competition in it, like PJ, I'm all about it. And one of the things that happened was called the Australian Open. Did you know that an American female won the Australian Open? She's pretty awesome. And I was going rooting for other people, but she won, so it's all good. There's also on the male side, a guy by the name of Federer. I mean, he's been playing since like Moses, and he's so good. He's like extremely good. And on the quarterfinal round, Federer wasn't doing too well. And just so you know, in tennis, it has like sort of like extra innings, but not really, that's baseball. Overtime, that's basketball. But they have sort of like sudden death where it's too close, but we gotta break this tie some way. And they go back and forth. And if you get to 10 points, usually it's 7, but in the Australian Open, it's 10 points, you win. Federer was down like 8-4, 9-5. He lose 1 point, he's done. He ended up winning that match. But I want you to hear what he said while he's being interviewed. Check it out.
He's a great fighter, good guy. And like you said, it came down to the wire at the end. A bit of luck maybe, you know, go one way. Oh, I had to stay so focused, take the right decision. And he was doing all that stuff in the beginning of the breaker. He kept on coming up with the goods. And I thought, okay, I guess I tried. I didn't play too bad after all, and I was getting ready to explain myself in the press conference, so... The demons are always there. They're lurking, but...
Okay, when I heard that, I kind of had to play it back. This is a tennis match, and he's talking about demons and lurking. He's the best, probably, tennis player of all time. And even Federer, for a moment, while he was playing, in his head, he was already saying, I'm a loser. In his mind, he's already believed the lie that he was going to lose. But as you can tell, he didn't lose. Satan loves that. Sometimes Satan don't even have to bother you because you already think you're a loser. He loves telling people what they are, but who they are not. You say, where did this begin? It began all the way back in the Bible. All the way back in the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 13, we read our main text this morning. Here's what it says. It says, Satan, serpent. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat fruit from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. So let me set the scene. Remember, creation has already been established by God. He already made the heavens and the earth, the waters, and he's already now, his final moment was making man and woman. And now we read here in the midst of all this, God gave them a command, and now you're seeing this conflict, this conversation happen. Verse 4, notice how he goes to the woman, and he says, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Notice how Satan is starting to turn the truth. When the woman saw what the fruit from the tree with her eyes, and she saw that it was good and pleasing and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. I believe here in 2020, people are still eating Satan's lies. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Verse 7, the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden on the cool of the day. And for the first time in Scripture, you see man hiding from God amongst the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? God did not call to Adam because he didn't know where he was. God was waiting for Adam to come clean. And he answered, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid. So now he goes from being blessed, highly favored. Now he's afraid. He's realizing that he's naked and he's hiding from God. So for the first time, he's feeling fear and consequences for his action. And then God says, who told you you were naked? And then he poses this question. Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Then the man said, classic man. Hey, God, listen, don't let her hear you because I'll be in timeout when I go home. The girl, she did it. And notice the classic woman. The classic woman doesn't throw her man under the bus, does she? Nope. The woman goes, Satan, that serpent, he tempted me, he tricked me, he lied to me. God says, what have you done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate it. What a classic illustration of our series, Love and Lies. This was the same Adam who was singing and worshiping God at the first sight of this beautiful woman. Can you imagine being Adam? I can only imagine. He sees this person, this God thing, And he says, oh, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she's so beautiful. And now Adam is now saying she did it. He quickly turned on the beauty of this woman. My question is, what happened to Adam? Adam, what happened to your relationship with God to where you go from worship to now complaining? What happened to your relationship with your wife? Sin is only there to destroy things and to separate. Adam, what happened to the beautiful garden, all of God's creation, because of your bad choice? Adam, what happened to what I placed under your care? It all began with the question, did God really say? You know, the fall of mankind began with this question. But I want you to see something interesting. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, Satan says, you will not certainly die. This is interesting how Satan responds to the woman. We do it even today. Listen, lies will always try to dethrone God's authority and will for your life. Lies will always lead you to separation, destruction, and confusion. It's the very opposite to what God is wanting to do in your life. Let me show you how this works in 2020. In 2020, here's how it may sound. Before you commit an act, before you actually commit the act of giving into a lie, Satan never shows you the consequences right away. Satan will also say things like this. Yo, dude, do whatever makes you happy in 2020. Hey, you deserve this. Hey, nobody's gonna find out. Hey, God is love. He'll forgive you. If you do this, don't worry about the consequences. Hey, everyone else is doing it. It's just one time. Nobody's gotta know about it. Come on, man. Just do it, bruh. I don't care what language it is, but he will get you to try to lie or try to give in to the lie. But how many of you know that the moment you're living the lie, the moment you commit the act, his language begins to change? He'll say things such as this, ha-ha, I got you. God hates you. God will never receive you. God is far from you. God will never forgive you. You'll never get back up again. He'll never forgive you. Your life is over. God is mad at you. And Satan, what he does is that he continues with the lie, and then you believe the lie based on how you're feeling. Satan loves to get you all wrapped up into your feelings. He loves it when you're feeling terrible. When you're having a bad day, he's bringing the balloons to your little party. He absolutely loves it. He don't care about you. And you're like, God don't really love me. And you're like, and Satan's rubbing your back going, yep, it's true. He'll speak to you on behalf of not truth and love, but based on the lies of your emotions and feelings. I love what James chapter 1 says. See, because we can't just blame Satan for everything. Sometimes we got to look at the person right in the mirror. Listen to what the book of James says in chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. It actually breaks down the process of what sin does in our lives. It says, when tempted, nobody should blame God. Because the Bible says, when tempted, it's not God who is tempting me, because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But watch what the scripture says. He says, we got to look at the person in the mirror. He says, by your own evil desires, you are dragged away and enticed. After the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And the Bible says, and sin, when it is full grown, it gives birth to death. So we have to own it. This is a classic response here. Notice what Adam does after being confronted by God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 11 through 12, Bible says, God says, have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Now, I got to jump into parent mode right now. How many of you as parents, can honestly say, I know when my kids are lying to me. I can smell a lie a mile away. The moment my kids look, I don't know about you. If my kids try to come my way with a lie, their body language begins to change. And they just begin to turn into like this little creature. Like I'm like, no, honestly. Like so what I try to do for my kids so that I don't have to bring the rod, come on somebody. What I try to do is I try to pose the question a little bit different. So I would go like this. I would go, hey, I know what you did. Hopefully they're like jolting, like, oh my gosh, my dad knows. But if they go, what? I go, oh, it's not fitting to be good. It's not fitting to be good. And I'll say, hey, when I walk into the room and all of a sudden lights go off and TV goes off, something's up. Something's up. And if I ask you a question, what were you doing? That's too wide. They're gonna lie. So I always try to pose it in a different way to let them know I already know the truth. Do you think God was like, I don't know what happened? I just don't know, because I don't know. I'm asking you this question because I don't know what happened. No, God knew exactly what happened, and he's trying to get us to simply confess. Then the man said, she did it. Yeah. That sound good. That sound right. And then notice what he does at the end. He goes, she gave it to me, and then I ate it. In other words, blame her, because I ate it. Notice what the Bible says, that David was a man after God's own heart. And the reason why David was a man after God's own heart was not that he was perfect. We already know what happened with David. But David understood that there's freedom in confession. What he says in the book of Psalm 32, he says, when I kept silent, this is what happens to us. When we're living a lie, it actually puts us in confinement. It's like we're trapped. He says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away all day long. But it's like he came to his senses and said, but then I said, I'll confess. I acknowledge my sin, and you did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt, not just the sin. You forgive the guilt of my sin. In other words, when I confess, God then says, you're in right standing with me, buddy. And it bears witness with my conscience. When you choose not to cover up your mistakes, God chooses to cover your mistakes. But if you choose to cover your mistakes, God will have to uncover your mistakes. How many of you are thankful that the blood of Jesus covers all our mistakes? Come on now. Oh. How do we stop falling for the lies and start living out the truth of God's word? Number one, we first must know and learn the truth. Guys, in Genesis 3, 1 through 3, Eve's fault was not knowing the truth. Eve messed up when she didn't live out the truth. See, knowing the truth and living the truth is totally different. You can know about something, but yet the Bible says in the book of James, if I don't do what I know what to do, I'm actually sinning against God. I said this before, God did not give us the Bible to make us smarter sinners. He's actually looking for us to, like, live this out. You only believe the parts of the Bible that you actually do. Like, for example, if I say, man, I believe in tithing. First of all, I believe that everything belongs to God because he created it all. Do you tithe? Well, not really, because, you know, it was a hard week last week. Well, then you don't believe in tithing. Man, I believe that people need to know about Jesus. Have you ever told anyone about Jesus? No. Then you don't believe in evangelism. We only believe the parts of the Bible that we actually do. The woman said to the serpent, man, God said we can eat the fruit, but we can't eat the one in the middle. Because if we do, we're going to die. Do you know our problem today? Our problem today is that we're living in a world where people are just so biblically illiterate. They don't even know what the Bible has to say. They'll teach our young people are growing up in this. They'll listen to things that are being said, like the Bible is not for today. It was written a long, long time ago. Matter of fact, the Bible is not God's word. The Bible is irrelevant for 2020. The Bible was written by man. Our kids are being challenged in their faith. They're learning that the Bible is false. Most people are against the Bible, and they don't even know what the Bible says. Interesting. Today, our kids are learning about the theory of evolution being true. But that's not what the Bible says. I love that when you go to the Bible, when you can just go to the Bible speaks for itself. When you go to the Bible, first, it will show you that God is creator. In the Bible, it says, open up to Genesis 1. And in Genesis 1:1, I'm not shocked by this, but here's what God says. In the beginning, say it with me, God created. Okay. The heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. If you try to live in this world without God, you will be dark, you will be empty, you will be broken, you'll be lost. But when God comes in and you know him as not just your Savior, but creator, life comes into your being. Second truth, I love this. Not only did God said, hey, in the beginning, God created, but notice the first thing God does, he separates light and darkness. There's a clear distinction from light and darkness. But why is it today that we try to do both? We're like, sometimes I want to be in the light. Sometimes darkness is cool. I kind of don't want to be found out. There's a clear distinction. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, not darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. And he separated the light from darkness. Can I tell you this? When Jesus came into my heart, the first thing he did was remove my darkness. How did he remove the darkness? By bringing me into the light. And for that moment, God rescued me from the dominion of darkness. And he brought me into the light to where I can see clearly. I got another third point. Praise God, he's sending an alarm. Truth number three. Those are heaven moments, by the way, when God's like, preach it, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Number three. God is not just creator. God is not just separating from light from darkness. But I got some good news, people. God made male and he made female. I know that this message is not accepted everywhere I go, but I don't care. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says he made male and female. Then God said, hey, let us, I can go on and on about what that us is. Jesus was always with the Father. He said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And I love this. Go ahead, don't try to play me out. Don't just let it go, bro. Let it flow in the back. Let it flow. In the image of God, he created them. Now, I get excited about this. Male and female, he created them both. It is as clear as light and darkness. Now, I've been to some public places. And I walk in, I'm like, all right, I got to go to the bathroom. You know, because the ice tea running through me. I go, let me hit that bathroom. Like, it's weird because the older I get, the more I start going to the bathroom with more people. It's weird. Like before, like, whatever, that's a whole nother sermon. So I'll go to the bathroom, and I don't want to be alone. So I'll go to the bathroom, and I'll go to the bathroom. I go, all right, let me go. And all of a sudden, there's a third option. There's a third option in the Bible. There's no third option. It's male and there's female. The moment we go, well, I don't know, is the moment Satan's like, yes, you don't know. you could do whatever you want to do. And you'll hear people from the microphone go, let them choose. And you're like, yeah, let them choose. Because, you know, it's only right. And we live in America. Listen to me. I don't live in America. I'm a citizen of heaven, baby. I'm a citizen of heaven. And I love the Bible. Because the Bible says, then the two shall become. I kind of like this a little bit. I like it. Bible says a man and a woman will leave the home. And every parent said, PJ's like, no, don't leave the home. Yeah, it's happening, brother. April, it's happening. Man and woman, they'll leave the home. And then the Bible says they'll be united to his wife. Sure, we have to be clear with this. Because our young people are getting jacked up because they don't know what the Bible says. So what must we do? Not only know the truth, but we got to meditate on the truth. Because sometimes truth is funny this way. We got to learn how to meditate on God's word. I'm not talking about yoga, guys. I'm talking about the truth of God's word. Genesis 3:11 says, who told you? Who told you you were naked? So that tells me that Satan speaks too. And I kind of read this, looked this up. Do you know our minds think 60,000 thoughts a day? 60,000. 60,000. They said that's the low end. They said some people get up to 100,000 in one day. I got this theory. It's just a theory. Don't hold me to it. I think women think more than men. Every man is like clapping. I know. You got the trophy. Take it. I don't care. Because you know what? Here's what's going to happen. Today's Sunday. There's a big game on. Here's what I'm going to do. Every man, you're going to do this. Now, woman, you can watch too, but you got other things on your mind. So how come women, they can clean a room, take care of the baby, cook all at the same time? Men, we're like, babe, well, just one thing. Just one thing. One thing at a time. I'm just telling you my testimony. My wife's sitting there. Just, I got to get it out. But we're going, here's what's going to happen. The men are going to go like this. All right, so what time is it? And we're going to sit in front of the TV, and this is what we're going to do. You know what we're thinking about? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In that moment, nothing's important. You know what my wife does? She's looking at everything that needs to be cleaned. It's a whole nother testimony. That's an average of 2,500 thoughts a day, or 2,500 thoughts an hour. That's 50 thoughts per minute. Can I ask you this question? What you thinking about? 80% of your thoughts are negative. 80%. I read this, I almost passed out. 95% of your thoughts are repetitive. So every day, 80% of your thoughts are negative. That's why you're miserable. But let me show you what the Bible says on how you can change this around. You can change it around by applying this scripture. Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4, I love this scripture. It says, here it is. You want to know the antidote? Listen to me. It's in rejoicing. That's why Paul said, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Again, I say rejoice. No, Satan's always lurking. Rejoice in the Lord always. He said, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. He says, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything. Let me just say this. Anxiety is not from Jesus. We may suffer things. We go through bouts of it. Sometimes we're like, oh, man, I'm really depressed now. And I understand that. We go through it, but we don't stay in that thing. We got to tell the devil anxiety is not, no, 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 no. I may go through it, but that's not who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm a rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Here's what happens. Here's what makes anxiety go away. God, I'm frustrated right now. I'm not having a good day. 80% of the time, my thoughts are wrong. They're negative. 95% of the time, they keep coming back on me. But God, when I learn to bathe some things in prayer, when I go into prayer and fasting, when I go into celebrating, I'm punching on the devil's neck, rejoicing in my Savior, knowing I am free in Jesus' name. Bible says, thanksgiving will keep you from complaining. Did you know that? Write that down. Verse 7. God says, you do your thing. God does his thing. He says, in the peace of God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Whew. He's a good God. He's more than able. Bible says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. He said, do what it says. See, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I kind of like to do that when I get older. Ain't nobody got time for no mirror. Where you know what I look like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law of God, that's his word, that gives freedom, watch, and continues in it. Oh, I love that. No, that's not it. No, that's not the scripture verse. Well, that's James. James 1:22. Change it up. Yeah. Not forgetting what you heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You want to be blessed in what you do? Put God's word into practice. Say, how am I able to do this? Watch what he says after this. He goes in verse 8. I love the people in the back. They work so hard for us. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, see that? That's what you got to think about. If it ain't true, stop thinking about it. He goes, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure. If it ain't pure, get rid of it. It ain't from God. Stop letting the devil use your mind as a playground. And he says here, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, he says, think about those things. So we should be consumed with the thoughts of God. And it changes our countenance. Satan knows the truth too, and he will use the truth to try to use it against you. Lastly, as the worship team can come, we must live out the truth. You must live out the truth. Satan knows you're in church right now, but he also knows you're going to forget 95% of the things you're going to hear. He's just waiting for your Monday. But not for the believer that lives it. Being a pastor is not a career job. It's a calling. Being a spirit-filled believer, it's a calling. God calls you unto salvation. It's not something we're like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if I really want to do it or not. What? This is the God of heaven that's calling you into relationship with him. But we must live in the truth. When you live in the truth, I love this. God will actually work in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. We call it the Spirit of God. When you live by the truth, you'll hear God speak to you, and here's what he says. He says, you are a child of God. You are loved. You are clothed in my righteousness. You are forgiven. You've been set free. You belong to me. If I'm for you, who can be against you? You're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You've been rescued. I've got a plan for your life according to Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 9. He goes, you are part of my plan. He goes, I want to use your past, but I'm still going to use you for my glory. Here's what God says about himself. He says, I'm good. I'm love. I'm compassionate. I'm slow to anger. I'm abounding in love. I'm faithful. I'm everlasting. I'm true. I'm eternal. I'm with you. I'm present. That's the God we serve. Oh, oh man. He's so faithful. He's so faithful. When you live in the truth, you hear him speak the truth. And watch, it's so cool. Because now I've been in the truth now for about 19, 20 years. And over those 20 years, I've learned his voice. That's powerful, because I need to perceive when evil comes in and I know it's not God. 60,000 thoughts, we got to go through that really, really quick. Hear me. I read the scripture verse, and I'm so thankful that the scripture's in the Bible here. And so Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. And here's what had to happen. God is so holy, so merciful. You know that God never created hell for people. It was created for the devil and his angels. True. God never, it is not the heart of God to throw anybody in hell. The Bible said it is his will that none shall perish. I can tell you, I can speak. So if somebody said anything else, it's a lie. Because God said in his word, for God so loved the world. You know how many sinners are in the world, including me? Yeah, if he didn't, I wouldn't be saved today. But I love this scripture verse because God, although he's loving, he's also just. He's holy. And the Bible said when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they had the deliberation. The Bible says God had to do something. I see a parent here. I see a good father here. I got to discipline you because I can't let you get away with it. If I let you get away with it, the Bible says I'll be a willing party to your death. So discipline is right and it's honoring. And the Bible says that God had to move Adam and Eve out of his presence. But notice, he didn't banish them until he clothed them. The Bible says, he goes, Adam named his wife Eve. I wish I can jump in the Bible and I can hear Eve going, not right now. Not, get away from me. Don't try to give me a name. Whatever, that's just my own little. Because she would become the mother of all the living, the Lord God made garments. So he stripped them of them fig leaves. That's the fake stuff coming to my love. And the Bible says the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife. And what did he do? He clothed them. My friends, that's the first sacrifice in scripture right there. I don't know who you are or where you've been or what Satan has told you, but it's a lie. God loves you. Even while you were the worst sinner, he still loved you and died for you. God doesn't wait for you to get good in order to clothe you. Nope. He calls you as you are and does a miracle in you. And he clothes you. How does he clothe me? He clothes me with his righteousness. The Bible says he became sin for me so that I can become the righteousness of God. You know what I call that? Grace, mercy, loving kindness. God, I didn't deserve any of this. I didn't deserve a calling. You put me out of your presence. But notice with me, and I believe this. Do you know man's problem today? Man's problem is that they're away from God. They're away from God. When you're away from God, you act like you're away from God. It's that simple. You're away from God. But the whole time God said, I'm ready to get you back. I'm ready to get you back. I'm going to send my one and only son to die on the cross for your sins so that that curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from my presence, that thing's going to be torn, not from bottom to top, or man can do it, but from top to bottom so that can be seen clearly by all, that God is the one that removes the barriers. God is the one that can forgive sin. God is the one that nailed our sin to the cross, buried it with him, rose up in 3 days so that you and I can live victorious. Come on, somebody. We serve a good God. But I know you're sitting here right now. I'm telling you what's happening to you right now. The devil's beating you up right now. He's beating you up right now. And that's why your guilt won't let you respond to altar calls. And the devil's lying to you. And you're listening to it. It's not about your feelings, guys. You live in your feelings, you're going to be waiting a long time. You step out by faith, and the love of God will cover you. You step out by faith. In your head, he's like, everybody's gonna see you. Everyone's gonna know what you've done. Everyone's gonna see it. Man, would you step out of your mind? Say, God, come into my life. Jesus, Lord, I'm not taking you at my feelings. I'm taking you at your word. For your word is true. And every man is a liar. That's what Jesus does. And I'm watching Jesus transform people's hearts and lives. If you're here today, listen to me from the sound of my voice. I don't want you to feel good because you're in church. I want you to feel good when you come to the Savior. The Savior's in this room. Would you pray with me all over this room?